Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Well, today we're doing a bit of a mini reaction review episode of the top three matches of Saturday's New Japan Dominion show, which I'm pretty confident will go down in history as one of the greatest wrestling events of all time, not only because we arguably saw one of the best matches of all time. I personally, for me at the moment, it's still my joint favourite match ever with their encounter the previous year, Omega Okada 2, but because the rest of the show had such a depth of quality to it as well. What was your overall feeling? Because you've seen more of the entire show than I have.
Yes, so I was smart enough not to do a 10K run on Saturday. So I was able to watch the majority of this live. And then I watched the rest of it this morning. But I thought the show overall was really, really solid. Like, it's a card that... Dave Meltzer said on Wrestling Observer Radio that it's the greatest wrestling show that he's ever seen. You know, it's better than WrestleMania X7, which I'm assuming was the previous last best show that he'd ever seen.
No, that wasn't in the Tokyo Dome.
But I thought the show overall was just like really solid. Like what was its real strength is that there wasn't a bad match on the card. And even matches that were like, yeah, you know, that was 10 minutes and it was completely fine, also always had these moments where I'm like, oh god, I want to see more of this. So for example, like Suzuki-gun of Minoru Suzuki and Sabre Jr. versus Ishii and Toriano. Like, anytime Toriano was in the ring, comedy nonsense. But then Zack Sabre Jr. would get in and just stretch the hell out of him, and it was awesome. And then Ishii and Minoru Suzuki would go at it, and I'm like, well, that's now a match I really want. I just want to see them two now have this big old wrestling war.
So they'd previously wrestled in 2012, yes. I believe. But I wasn't watching New Japan back then. And now Suzuki and Ishii, that's 6 years later.
They're different people now.
Yeah.
So I want to see them have that match now.
Do you know, biologically, they are different people. All of the cells in their body would have died and regenerated.
So
they're completely different people.
So is the theory, yes.
Is it real science?
But that's how people say that you overcome certain ailments. So, for example, if you have a gluten intolerance, 7 years later, you might actually be fine. But there are people who are just always intolerant to certain things.
Yeah, I think maybe biologically, you're a different person.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Fake Luke likes science.
Well, that's fine.
And so, you're like, you're off on science.
I think science is great, mate. But they're like, you know, there's some really good stuff on this card. I really enjoyed the 6-man tag as well, of Reg and Hiroshi Tanahashi.
That's Rey Mysterio for people who don't know that Luke calls Rey Reg.
Jushin Thunder Liger versus Bullet Club. Like, that was really good. It was surprising to see that the heels got the victory. However, now that they're doing Kenny versus Cody at the Cow Palace show, it sort of makes sense that Cody was put over strong in that match. That was actually, it was a lot of fun.
So he pinned Liger.
He did pin Jushin Thunder Liger indeed. And the Young Bucks against Evil and Sonata was also really, really good. I thought Dave Meltzer, it wasn't Dave Meltzer, I think it was Brian Alvarez, put it best, when he said that, like, Matt Jackson has been getting a lot of praise this year because of the cell job that he did at Wrestle Kingdom and how he's been carrying across this bad back storyline throughout all of his matches to kind of create this inner continuity and to prove to people like Jim Cornette that they're not just spot monkeys and they can do in-ring psychology. And this was the match where Nick Jackson went, oh, hang on, I've not done anything like that. Now I'm going to do it. And so he did a spot where he kicked the ring post really, really hard and then sold the leg throughout, including even when they tried to go and do the Indie Taker. As soon as he jumped up on the rope, he just collapsed because in the match he wasn't able to put any pressure onto his leg, and they kind of like built the entire match around Matt not being able to use his back properly, and now Nick can't use his leg properly.
Yeah, so I still haven't seen that one. I really want to.
Yeah,
but the first match, the first proper match we're going to talk about is Will Ospreay versus Hiromu Takahashi. Yeah, I thought we're doing in chronological order.
I was going to say,
now we've started that way.
Changed
I did
your
say
mind.
We'd start with Omega and Okada, but
yes,
it's the main event. So I, in the douchebag rating scale, gave this 4.75. I thought this was a better match than Hiromu Takahashi versus Taiji Ishimori, which had just taken place 5 days prior.
Really?
At the Best of the Super Juniors. Oh. Maybe it's the... Because that was... It looks like it's in a school hall. This is in Corrigan Hall. Was it in Corrigan?
No, I forgot what it's called now. Osaka Joe Hall.
Okay. But it looked grander. And I just thought, because the title was on the line... and Takahashi was so over, and Will Ospreay's super, super engaging. I preferred this match.
It's interesting because I actually, A, I preferred the finals of the Best of the Super Juniors, but B, I preferred them when they had this match at New Beginnings.
Mm.
I thought that the New Beginning match was much better than this one.
I like this one. It just felt like there was a lot more on it. So much on this show felt like it had so much context building into it, and that, in my opinion, creates a better end product because you've got a lot more story, a lot more spots and character moments you can invest in. I must say, if New Japan's big plan is to expand internationally and get that United States audience, I don't think Ospreay can get away with saying F you little C word quite loudly on camera for much longer.
I was going to say, and actually my sort of big takeaway from this show is in that sort of, it feels like they are kind of focusing on this big international expansion. We've got our new New Japan is a new president for New Japan, and he's the first non-Japanese businessman to run New Japan.
He's Dutch. Harold Mack.
He loves pancakes and all that sort of stuff. No, it was waffles that he really liked, wasn't it?
Yes.
The gold member.
Bong and a blitch.
Yes.
Schmog and a pancake.
Schmog and a pancake.
Cigar and a waffle.
You know, things like with Jericho winning, with Kenny Omega winning, with Elgin winning. I think they're just, the Bucks winning as well, kind of putting it on these sort of non-Japanese wrestlers as a way to kind of like get... And the same way that WWE put the WWE Championship on Jinder to try and get that Indian market to be like, hey, look, your guy... is your guy, big air quotes, podcast listeners, your guy is the champion. So now you can tune in and watch our show and you can be represented by someone. Fortunately, that someone was Jinder, whereas New Japan were like, no, we'll have one of the best wrestlers in the world, one of the best tag teams in the world, we'll have them represent these.
Unless there's two guys in Japan filming a little podcast thing as well going... It's so transparent. They're obviously trying to break the United States market.
Yeah.
Why are they hamstringing all of our great homegrown talent?
Oh, God, it'd be so amazing if there was like this, but like with the exact same set and everything, like with the same headsets. Oh, that'd be great.
Alternate universe.
Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to set up
the
like,
Asian
like,
timeline.
We need to set up like WrestleTalk needs to do its global expansion. And we open up like a Japanese office.
Local globalization.
Exactly.
Yeah, is what they termed it in a WWE press conference.
So I think that's quite key to all of this. And I thought it was a really solid show. Like, it is getting incredible amounts of press. And I've had a lot of messages from people. You know, I've got it while I was watching it live. And I've had it from people since saying, like, you know, God, it's just so much better than WWE. I'm cancelling my WWE subscription and I'm going over to New Japan World.
They probably didn't.
My argument would be you can do both. Money permitting, you can do both and you can like both. It's not like you can't like one and not like the other.
What are you talking about? I've got a tribe and I want to stick to the tribe. And I'm going to stick with that tribe forever. Heaven forbid I can switch between things as they vary in quality.
Yes. I mean, and it's also like... people ask, like, why don't WWE put shows on like this? And WWE could put on shows like this.
It's called NXT.
Well, exactly it, because NXT is there to appeal to people who like watching New Japan and like watching wrestling, whereas Raw and SmackDown aren't designed to do that. They're designed to appeal to a mass market who aren't really interested in wrestling. They just like watching wrestlers do entrances, I guess,
and pins are good.
And pins,
they like counting. They like counting three.
Exactly, yeah. And that, so it's, you can't say that WWE don't have the roster depth to be able to put on a show like this, because they do. It's just New Japan choose to use their roster depth, for me, much more effectively, because they are putting on an incredible wrestling show.
Well, I was gonna say, WWE have quite a lot of New Japan's old roster. AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura,
Finn Balor.
You've got Kenta, you've got Asuka as well, just the other stars who were very, very successful in the New Japan style of wrestling, but since they've come over to WWE, go back a notch.
Exactly, like they just like take all these Japanese stars from like Stardom, All Japan, and New Japan, and all this sort of stuff, and then be like, now we're just going to take you over here and just flatten you all out. You just go out and do your one thing, and then we will tell you that one thing to do, and that'll be fine.
And some people that's been good for.
Exactly. Yeah. And here's a massive paycheck for you to do so.
So, back to Ospreay and Takahashi.
Yes, we went on a bit of a detour there.
An extraordinary match. I loved the hell out of it. I really, really have turned a corner on Will Ospreay's selling. Before, I was always quite put off at just how screamy and yelly it was. I didn't really buy into it. Like, his screaming didn't sound like a real scream to me. It sounded like a scripted scream, if that makes sense.
Well, we talked about this in the Ramble Club, the Patreon podcast that we do, when we were reviewing Ospreay versus Kushida. And I really liked Ospreay's selling in that, because he was really focusing on like the neck and shoulder thing that he got from the Spanish Fly incident, shall we say. And I really like it because it feels so guttural and just like, oh my God, you have really kicked me hard in that, huh? But you felt that it was a forced, I need to do this to put over the fact that I am hurt.
Yeah, but here, maybe he's changed or my opinion's just changed. It felt like it didn't get in the way of certain spots for me here. The argument is, why would you scream so much? Because you're effectively saying to your combat sports opponent, yeah, keep hitting me there.
By the way, it hurts here.
Yeah, look, all the tape here is a big mark where you can keep focusing your attacks. But I just thought this match was so well structured that some of the reversal sequences were so quick. There's one moment, I can't remember where it was. It was near the start, because they were kind of feeling each other out, and then they did some spots on the outside.
You say they were feeling each other out, but like,
for a minute.
I was going to say, like, Tak did an overhead belly-to-belly into the corner in the first 5 seconds of the match.
But then when they got back in, it was like one of the best counter after counter. That's it. It was a long yay boo spot. So they're just going like, forearm kick, forearm punch. And then it goes counter after counter, no sell after no sell, reverse rana. Guys just get back up again. And then Ospreay hits, like, he had run up Takahashi. Run up Takahashi and then hit a kick. And he did that a few times. And it was just this long, like 40 seconds this sequence went. But it was like an action movie, but from the Matrix.
Yeah,
not totally a realistic action movie. I thought it was one of the best wrestling sequences I've ever seen.
I really, really like this. And right at the start of this match, like, Will did this ginormous dive. So they're sort of doing this big wrestling on the outside, and there was a point when Takahashi was going to German suplex him off the ramp onto the floor, and then he sort of got out of that, and then so Takahashi's down off the ramp. Will then runs back up the ramp and charges 500 miles an hour and does this big old flip dive, basically misses Takahashi, who I think just went, Jesus, and sort of ducked to get out of the way.
Nope.
No, thank you. But it was so cool. It was so impressive.
I wonder if he always intended to do a forward roll after his forward roll in the air afterwards, because that's what happened to Ospreay. Or if he was going so fast, he was like, holy crap, I need to... you know, sort of roll this out. But I did, that itself was a play on the, so much of this was trying to top that Best of the Super Juniors match.
Yeah.
Fire was really lit under Ospreay to have the best match on the show. And the promos going in and the press conference he did afterwards was all about that. And he was like, you know, this is the best title in New Japan. And it really, really helps put over the importance of what these guys are fighting for.
Yeah, I particularly like that moment in the press conference when Will kept saying, like, this, I'm working my hardest to make this the number two title in New Japan. Takahashi just goes, it's the number one title.
Yeah, yeah.
So
really
good.
Sweet. But next up, we had, and this was perfect structure throughout the night. One of the criticisms we level at WWE is that you'll just have match after match after match, and they're essentially all wrestling the same style. So it does become a bit monotonous and tedious.
Before we go on, we didn't actually finish up the match itself, because Takahashi won in the end. He hit the time bomb, Death Valley Driver into the corner, then hit the time bomb, and we've got a new champion.
Really fired up at the end.
Yeah.
Takahashi was so cool.
Yeah.
And the crowd were all really behind him.
Yeah.
But then next up we had Takahashi's teammate. He's faction member. He's LIJ member. I wore this t-shirt for a reason, which I bought at an indie show.
God, you're so cool.
So cool.
Oh, so cool.
It was
Ollie
Chris
Davis.
Jericho versus Naito. And this was a completely different style of match to the best of, to the junior heavyweight match we'd just seen. And it was Jericho just walks out in this top hat scarf, that, you know, the old scarf that he used to wear, which was a source of mockery in WWE, and his glistening jacket, not full light up version. But he had like black eye paint and stars and black lipstick. He just looked like a completely different person. I loved it.
I was going to ask what you thought of the makeup, because he debuted the makeup at a New Japan show when he attacked Naito from the crowd, and it was ridiculed a little bit by the mainstream press, I would say. You know, sites like joe.co.uk and places like that don't really watch wrestling, and they're just like, oh, by the way, that Chris Jericho lad you used to watch in 2000, he's now still wrestling and he's over in Japan.
And he's a drag queen.
And you watch that and you go like, oh, well, that doesn't look like the Chris Jericho that I remember from 18 years ago. What's up with the makeup? I mean, I wrote that he looks like an ICP fan. Or a bad Raven knockoff. That was my takeaway from it.
I think he looks like a sort of black magic worshipping Aleister Crowley inspired punk rocker.
I dig it.
I did the whole, because it's not like, it's not perfect. It's just crudely drawn on, and that packaged together with his, I believe, intentionally out of shape body. He is not in WWE shape. He has a weird six pack where it's like, is that muscle or is that fat?
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
And there is an overhang on his stomach, and he's got a supreme dad bod when he wrestles Naito. And I think that adds so much to this iteration of his character, where he just feels a bit, he doesn't feel like this polished lion salting athlete. He feels like a dangerous madman who just, there's something a bit off about him. I really like this match. I really like what Jericho's doing.
I really like what Jericho is doing. The makeup doesn't really work for me, but man, you cannot argue that his character is just so good. Like, do you know what? Don Callis summed this up absolutely perfectly right at the start of this, because I think you're going to have a different Callis line to the one I've got, because my favourite line of Callis's was like, Naito may be the most popular guy in New Japan, but Chris Jericho doesn't care.
Yeah.
And as Naito was making it, and then the first thing you see is Chris Jericho just completely decimating Naito, and you're like, yep, you're right, Jericho does not care.
Yeah, well, Callis kept on putting over, like, there's going to be a viewing party in Stamford, Connecticut right now, which is where WWE's headquarters are based, and they're going to be asking each other, who's this guy? This isn't Chris Jericho that we know.
Callis kept saying, like, This is a Jericho I've only seen a handful of times in the 25 years that I've known him. It's like, and that was only in bar fights.
Yeah,
like that was on
the
street and in bar fights, never in a wrestling ring. And I've got to say, throughout this show, commentary was exceptional. That is it's a given on any New Japan show, because Kevin Kelly and Don Callis are such a good team up. It's my favorite commentary team at the moment. But they are, I just think Callis is so good at his job. He's so good at getting character across.
Salute him. Salute Callis. I'm trying to get this over. I put it in my news today. Salute Callis. We trust in you, Don Callis.
We do trust in Don.
Because we criticised, we were overly applauding of the commentary for Wrestle Kingdom 12, because we love Callis and Kelly. But we did say, even in that main event, there was a lot of self-aggrandizing.
Yeah.
Oh, how many stars is this going to get? Low, low, low. And it's takes you out of it.
The last time these two wrestled, it was a 5-star match like that.
Yeah. But all of that was taken away here. This was a 6-star performance on commentary. It was. So this match, it's just right out of the gate. Jericho does his entrance and a Naito comes out, white suit, wicked club banging entrance music.
God, I wish I could look that cool.
Yeah.
Like I don't look too bad in a suit. At least on my wedding day, I looked all right in one. I will never look as good in a suit as Naito does.
And a white suit, which really got over the blood later, when the blood on a white suit looked a beautiful visual, or rather a horrific visual. And Naito's making his way out. He's so cool. He's tranquilo. And Jericho just attacks him. I'm thinking, why didn't anyone see him? It's because Naito's looking right at the ring on the way there, but he's too cool. He's so chillaxed. Did not even see Jericho run around to attack him. And it is 5 minutes, or I don't know how long it went, actually, but a long period of Jericho beating the crap out of Naito.
Yeah, really.
Puts it an amazing table spot. And these Japanese tables, they're thinner. They look like they don't break easily, and they don't. And he puts one over the barricade. So what the one legs is inside the barricaded area and the other side is on the barricade. And he power bombs Naito through it. Looked brutal. Then there's the spike DDT, on it, and the table doesn't break for that one.
And there's even like great spots because like Jericho is like throughout this just trying to get over this new like, crazy character that he's got, to the point where he grabs the camera off the camera guy and just films himself giving Naito the finger.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was so cool.
So there's this like prolonged beatdown bit.
And he's screaming Naito's name. That just came to my mind. Then he's just screaming his name all the while beating him up.
Yeah, this was kind of what he did with Omega at Wrestle Kingdom. I just felt like it was a lot more on point here.
Yeah, it worked better this time.
And Jericho throws Naito into the ring, and he's like, "Ring the damn bell!"
He rings the effing bell with his words.
Yeah, and Red Shoes. Again, another brilliant performance all night from Red Shoes. He really gets over the drama of the match by just hopping in there and being like, no. There was a great spot when Jericho had the walls on. He beats the structure of this match is Jericho continues to beat down Naito for ages. Naito has a brief comeback and Jericho wins.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say the Naito got, I think the Callus put this over. The first 10 minutes were all Jericho, but then it was all Naito, because Naito eventually got his suit off and was able to mount quite a bit of a comeback. But yeah, as you said at the end, it was Jericho's win.
Mm. But there was this beautiful moment when Jericho's got the walls locked on. And I never really thought about this before, Jericho can't see if Naito's tapping. And Red Shoes is down on the ground being like, "Are you tapping, Naito? Are you tapping?" Hitting the mat himself. And Jericho's like, "Is he tapping?" And Red Shoes is waving his hand just so Jericho could see it. Going, no. But he's still looking at Naito like a referee would do in this situation.
Yeah.
Really good performance.
Red Shoes was really great. Yeah. I would say I had two sort of big notes out of this thing, because I thought this was a terrific match.
And
so it got brutal later on, especially when Naito gave Jericho a pile driver on that same table that Jericho gave him the spike DDT on. But my two sort of notes on this was that despite the booking of this match, which is that Jericho is clearly a heel and he is a nasty, vicious man, the crowd was so behind him. Like, and they like, even when Naito was really being beaten down, the crowd were chanting Y2J.
Have you heard why this is?
I have not.
A sucker hates Naito.
Really? Is that the case?
Yeah. Apparently, someone wrote on, because I said a similar thing in my reaction video, and someone said, Naito could save a baby in Osaka, and they'd still boo him.
Yeah, because it was like, at Wrestle Kingdom, he was like, in this match with Okada, I'd argue he was more over than Okada was.
Yeah, it's really interesting how different cities really get behind different wrestlers there.
WWE kids keep telling me that's what Roman Reigns is as well.
Divisive.
Yeah, very divisive.
But then you'll get like a boo on Naito, but then everyone else will kind of drown out the Naito boos with their own cheers.
Yes.
And like, that's real divisive.
That is real divisive.
As opposed to the one-sided, no, everyone
just doesn't like Roman Reigns on our television screens.
And there was a couple of like loud spot calling by Jericho throughout, including a moment when they botched doing the Destino.
And yeah, that was a bit awkward.
Sort of like dropped him into the ropes, and then they sort of like got up, did a couple of bits, and then Jericho essentially goes, "Do it again. I'm ready this time." And then they hit it the second time they tried.
I can't remember if it was in this match or if it was an Omega Ricarda afterwards, but Callis covered a loud spot call by going, "So-and-so is so confident now. He's calling spots like so-and-so used to do in hockey."
That's probably the Jericho match.
Yeah.
God bless Don Callis.
So
there's a moment when he had him in the walls. I think he had him in the walls. And he was essentially shouting at Red Shoes, "Take me off. Like, pull me to one side." Yeah. And Red Shoes was going like, So Jericho's like, "Oh, fine. I'll go to you myself then."
Yeah. So it wasn't like that, especially near the end, because Naito did pick up two nasty injuries.
Really round his eye.
Yeah, which I don't know why he didn't play up on that more. His eye was blooded on the inside, so it was like blood in the lid.
Yeah, it's gross.
And his whole thing is the Tranquilo pose of opening up the eye.
Yeah.
But he did it on the other eye.
Probably because it hurts so much. Ow,
through this. And then he got another laceration to the cheek.
That's good Michael Cole wordplay.
It's like that weird phrases you only wrestling fans ever use.
Technical area.
Yeah, slobber knocker.
Superstructure.
Yeah, local medical facility. And in the end, the story is that no one, and the commentators really putting it over, they've never seen Naito brutalized like this. Even Suzuki, the most sadistic man in all the world, never did this sort of stuff to Naito. And here's Jericho. And I'm like, you know what? Jericho right now is kind of at that Suzuki level of just insanity.
I would love to see a Suzuki Jericho match.
Yeah.
With this Jericho against this Suzuki, man.
Well, in the Omega Jericho feud, I sort of always treated it like this is a freak show.
A one-off freak show.
Yeah, it's a curiosity.
Yeah.
But now that it seems, and especially after Jericho won the Intercontinental title, the number two belt in New Japan.
Not gone to Will Ospreay.
Yeah, you're right. A belt. A top belt in New Japan. Yeah. It now opens up all these things that I'd never really considered, but I actually really want to see. I want to see Jericho versus Suzuki. I want to see Jericho versus Okada. I want to see Jericho versus Ishii.
Mm.
Like, all the people he could have feuds with now.
And you're not getting that when you're getting Evil instead.
Yeah, okay, so Evil...
But I like Evil.
Yeah, Evil ran down to save Naito afterwards. They're trying to push Evil a lot because he had a good showing in the New Japan Cup. Or was it last year's G1?
Maybe last year.
Evil seems to be a slow burn project for Gedo at the moment. But a really great brawl.
Yeah, really, really great. Really enjoyed
but
that.
But here we go.
Well, there's the finish. Actually, I love the finish of the match as well, which was that Naito went to do Destino, but Jericho got out and kind of like faked push the ref, and then low blowed Naito, hit the Codebreaker, and got the win. Before we move on to the main event,
yes.
A point that I do want to make. During the... the tag match between Suzuki-gun and Yano and Ishii. The finish of the match is terrific, by the way. Because essentially, Toru Yano attempts to give Zack Sabre Jr. a low blow. And Sabre Jr. catches the thing with his knees. Like, catches the arm with his knees. And then transitions that into like this crazy like armbar submission. And Toru Yano was like, "Oh dear." And taps out. My first thought was, I wonder if AJ and Nakamura will do that at Money in the Bank.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how Dominion affects Money in the Bank weekend, because the main roster guys are pretty hamstrung in what they can do. I wonder if they will let Styles and Nakamura go out there and finally have the kind of match we know they can have. But I think the NXT guys on Saturday night, a lot more freedom in the ring if they're just going to go balls to the wall. Just like how the January Takeover show had that Wrestle Kingdom fire lit underneath them, and they went on to have the Almas Gargano match and the ladder match as well.
That was the WrestleMania one.
Oh, was that WrestleMania weekend?
Yes.
My apologies. So, yeah.
The Aleister Black Adam Cole one.
Yeah, Takeover should be ruddy good fun.
Particularly Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So here we are, Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega in my new joint favourite match of all time. It's been 2 nights now I've slept on it. It's still there.
I was going to say, it's interesting that it's your joint because like I thought, I loved the Dominion match last year. And I thought Dominion match was just like, it was untouchable and absolutely flawless. Until this match happened, I'm like, oh God, that match was like, somehow just so much better than the Dominion match. Despite the fact that Dominion match last year was so good, I thought this one was just like, because it's the culmination of everything.
Oh, you prefer this one?
I much prefer this one. Because like it's the culmination of it all. Mm. It's the culmination of this feud. It's the culmination of Okada's, you know, epic long title reign. It's the culmination of this kind of like, not so much the culmination, but the new era of this Bullet Club-esque storyline where you've got now the Golden Elite and all this stuff kind of coming together. And it was just, I said it when I watched it live, as soon as it finished, I just tweeted out, it was a masterpiece of storytelling. An absolute masterpiece. And I absolutely stand by that. And I think this is the best match these two have had in a series of already amazing matches.
And so by extension, is it your favourite match of all time?
Well, I mean, from a technical standpoint, 100%. But it's that sort of thing where it's like...
But what can touch it storyline-wise?
I appreciate that. But again, it's that sort of thing where I've always said that I appreciate that Okada is probably the greatest wrestler on the planet, but he's not my favourite wrestler on the planet. So I might be that this is the greatest wrestling match I have ever seen, but it's not my favourite wrestling match I've ever seen.
Okay.
Because they're two very different things. Ghostbusters is my favourite film of all time, but I don't think it's the best film ever made.
I got you. I feels you. So, shall we talk about my... by the way, it'd be interesting to if you rewatched last year's Dominion match between them. Because I think it might be a case of whichever one you watch last is your favourite.
Could be, yeah.
Because you just got like the Cody throwing in the towel drama, the feint from the clothes, the Rainmaker.
Oh God, what a spell that was. And I loved how they played off on that one. But actually, it's a lot like when we did the Wrestle Ramble Extra review of WrestleMania 25. We were talking about the Michaels Undertaker match, and I've always thought that the Hell in a Cell one was just like far and away better. And then I rewatched the WrestleMania 25 one, and now I'm not sure which I think is actually the better match of the two. So yeah, maybe it's a case of if I watch Dominion again, whether I might have a difference of opinion.
So this match opened with, and it was like as soon as this thing played, I was like, I mean, this is 5 stars already. Right? Yeah. They did an Infinity War reference. And just this beautiful video package prologue from Kenny Omega that by all accounts, Kenny Omega would have gone out and funded this himself and made it and given it to New Japan.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's got Kenny's fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, that's what they... I think they said that about the previous one. Marty with his bird wings entrance. Yeah. That's all the wrestlers. And they just like say, can I do this? And they go like, that the office would go, yeah, sure you can. So it's a card. So it's Omega walking along, and he's kind of having flashbacks of the last year of being beaten by Okada, about Cody infiltrating the Bullet Club, about having to break up with the Young Bucks. And then he stops, and this burning feather falls down in front of him, and they reveal Kota Ibushi standing on the other side, all in white. And you've got this contrast of Ibushi all white with these feathers around him, and then you've got Omega on the other side, all in black. And they effectively relay the conversation at the end of Infinity War from Thanos talking to Gamora.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the end. Yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't said certain bits.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what did it cost? And they, Ibushi asks, you know, have you prepared for this match? It's a pretty big deal. And Omega says yes, and then he goes, what did it cost? And then they just have a shot of the Bullet Club logo disintegrating. And Omega just looks so sad and goes, everything. And it was like, just that condensed a whole 18 months of story into one beat of emotion. And I'm like, this is such a big deal. Like, beyond, it was before that, I was like, I can't wait to see this really good wrestling match. And then that moment was what transferred my mind into, this is a story.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching a movie and I'm invested in all the characters and I want to see the end.
I completely agree with you as well. But isn't it as well, because you said in your reaction video that you don't really like New Japan video packages.
I do like them, but they're not effective.
No, but like we had this when we did the Wrestle Kingdom 11 review for Wrestle Ramble Extra.
Yeah.
What I do like about New Japan video packages, I like that the guys just get to, it's like sit down interviews and they just get to talk about why they are going to win this. And I think that always gets over, like, the importance of winning. And it just makes them feel like actual combat sport athletes fighting in a match. Like, that sort of thing. It makes it
doesn't.
Not the way
they present it.
It works for me.
It makes it look like an anime. It makes it look like a morning kids' TV show.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
It does.
This
happened over here, and now this person speaks. Blah, 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 blah.
I like it. I think it works for me. But, like, you know, it makes it feel real. And then you couple that with this one, which did add more of the sort of storyline drama elements to it. This, what I will say, this was better than the New Japan produced one. But I do like, I always like wrestlers kind of sitting down and doing these sort of, like, you know, these almost press conference style talks to the camera. I like them.
So we won't do a full play-by-play because I have
so
about,
many notes.
Honestly, 5 pages of notes.
Yeah, I've got quite a lot of notes.
But
here.
We will go full by full. So the story they're telling is Omega can't out-wrestle Okada. They've said, like, Omega's admitted that. He's like, he's the best wrestler in the world. I'm not going to beat him at that game, but I can outlast him.
That's it. He goes, like, why would he challenge me to no time limit? He knows I can, like, he knows I can go further than he can. That's
and
a
he,
really nice bit of, like, delivery from him.
And when Omega walks out and you see him, you're like, holy moly, you're right! Because he is in the best shape I've ever seen him in.
Yeah.
Like, his abs look like these fists that are just protruding from his abdomen. He looked great, and it's 20 minutes in, and we get the first fall, and it's not from a finisher, it's not from a wrestling move, it is a cradle from Okada, and I was just like, that's amazing.
Yeah,
what a way to deliver that first fall, because you've still got two more bits to go. You can't blow your finisher load. Like, from a match structure perspective, it makes sense to save those things, and they're talented enough to keep an engaging. I just thought it was a great way to do it. And then you said you don't like, in when we did the, Luke and I recently reviewed the Triple H Rock Iron Man match, and you don't get any breaks between falls.
We've done a lot of plugs for Patreon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't have breaks between falls, but here you had 2 minutes of breaks. And I loved it because you just got both men in either corner and that. Then, like, Kenny's roaring to go. Okada's just standing there so happy with himself. Like,
yeah.
I'm one up. This is on my turf.
He is
now.
A smug little dick, isn't he, Okada? But you're right.
And Omega's just like, I want to get in there.
Yeah.
And he's pouncing around.
And it works so effectively when you go into the third fall because both men are in the corner just like, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Like, and you are right. So I did say that in the Judgment Day 2000 review that we did, I love when you don't have breaks between falls. I don't know. I just really like the fact that like we've got an hour. We are going this whole hour. There's going to be no rest periods in there. But when you set it up like this, it does add a lot more. It can work both ways. And here it worked absolutely brilliantly.
Well, I think for an Ironman match, no breaks makes sense. But for a 2 out of 3 falls match, this way works a lot better.
And it was really great as well, because I called this the greatest first fall in a 2 out of 3 falls match I've ever seen. Because it really was. It felt like a real wrestling match. They played off a lot of stuff. It featured some of the loudest chops I've ever heard in my life.
I don't remember Omega's chops being that big.
I know. They were just, it felt like they had implanted a microphone into Okada's chest to make it sound louder than they were.
Or grafted Walter's arm onto Omega.
Exactly. Because they were just so loud. I also love as well, another shout out to our boy Don Callis. There was a moment when Omega was doing these sort of like this kickboxing stuff, and Callis goes like, Ibushi competed in kickboxing at like a professional level, and he has been training with Omega to improve his game, and that is really paying off here. And it just builds up again this more drama to this, like, yeah, this guy has been training for this match, but he's also been doing something that Okada has not been expecting. He's been working on other things that he hasn't had in his arsenal in their previous encounters. Loved that. And I love the fact that Okada picked up the first fall, because it really plays into that. I do think Okada is a dick. Like, he's just a smug dick, and it plays into that character, because he said, standing in the corner going like, mate, I'm one up, like, what are you gonna do?
I loved it. It was it was 2 minutes, and Gato's there going, you got this, Renmaker! Oh, this is ours, Renmaker! And it really positions Kenny as the babyface.
Yes.
And the whole crowd were behind
crowd
him.
Crowd was so
But you know
it.
What? I was super behind him as well. I was never like, but Kenny's going to win. Like, even from even the storyline makes so much sense. I was like, I have no idea who's winning the match.
Do you know what? That's the brilliance of this as well. Like, I tweeted out when I was watching this, I said, I'm calling it now, Okada is winning, and he's kicking out of the One-Winged Angel. Because that felt like that's what they were setting up in this match. And they were, to swerve me and do something else. I was like, oh, you beautiful little bastards, because I didn't see that coming. It was wonderful.
They've worked the work and the work
exactly.
into the shoot into onto the shoot. Work. There's too many levels. It's beyond my comprehension. Gato's a genius. So
I'd also say as well, like, because I've often criticised Okada matches that I've never invested in the first 20 minutes because I know the match isn't going to end there. But like I, as I said when we did the preview for this, I love that it's a 2 out of 3 falls thing, because you can work in some drama into the first fall.
So we'll just run through a few bullet points. V triggers are also just as loud as the chops as usual. There was a tombstone on the apron spot from Okada on Omega, which really wasn't put over as a big deal.
No.
It was like a clothesline.
Well, 20,000 moves had been hit on the apron throughout the night. I know it's a tombstone and everything.
But on the apron, it's the hardest part of the ring, Luke. Dropkick, dropkicks. There's a wonderful bit where there's a table set up outside and they're wrestling for ages on the apron, and it looks like Omega is going to do the Snapdragon suplex like he did off the top rope in their first match through the table, and they tease it, but it doesn't happen. They were really playing off the previous match's spots, and it makes it such a rewarding thing if you followed this story through from the beginning.
There's a wonderful spot when they are on this outside. So they kind of get out of this, and Omega tries to do the One-Winged Angel on the floor, and Okada gets out of that, and he attempts the Rainmaker, but Omega ducks and hits this reverse Rana on the outside.
Yeah.
And this is when Gato, again, so great, just like screaming at Okada to get up. Like, you need to get up right now.
Mm.
And he does, like, it was the Undertaker at WrestleMania 25 when he kind of gets up. He gets up at 16. He's about to get into the ring and then falls down again. And the crowd go,
yeah.
And really bought into it. And he just managed to roll in at 19. And just the first thing that Kenny does is runs at him, V-trigger right in the face. Mm. God, it was great.
So about 40 minutes, and I'm skipping to the next fall now, there was just this incredible sequence where it was Okada did a drop kick into a power... So Okada went to do a drop kick, but Omega reversed that into a power bomb. and then there was some more stuff, and Okada got a cradle, and you're like, oh my god, it's gonna, second fall was gonna be just another cradle, but loads of V-triggers, a butterfly pile driver near fall from Kenny Omega, and then no one's ever kicked out of it, the one winged angel, which I now like.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Turn the corner.
I always said it looked too contrived, but I don't know what's happened. I fell in love with it over the course of this match, and Kenny makes the pin, and it's there. It's one apiece, and Okada sells this incredibly. And Callis is like putting over, and Kevin Kelly saying, Okada's unconscious. Yeah. What happens if the match can't continue? I'm serious. It looks like that might be a possibility. Gedo's going crazy. And that is the first successful finisher of the match.
Yes.
45 minutes in.
Yeah. And that builds in beautifully, because as soon as that, because Okada's not, like, you got this 2 minute gap. Okada isn't ready by the time the bell rings again. He's just not ready for the match. And Kenny, spotting this, goes boof and straight into it. And like it just like attacks him straight away. Like with a V trigger, picks him up for the One Wing Angel. Okada hits the Rainmaker.
Autopilot.
Yeah, autopilot, absolutely. And Okada then just like crawls into getting this fall. It was so well done. So good.
And in that, like at the end of that 2 minute break, when Omega's ready to go, he wants to, he's got victory in his sights now. Gedo is stalling.
Yeah.
And it's just masterful. Like that, because Gedo's very rarely flustered like to that level. He doesn't cheat. He's not a cheating manager. He's a hype man. But here he is really pushing the boundaries of the rules. Really great stuff. And then it was, so we're 50 minutes in, there's about 15 minutes more, and it is just fatigue drama. Like, both men are selling that, like, they're almost dead.
Do you know what an amazing spot in this third fall was? Because, like, you're right, like, these guys had absolutely nothing behind their punches. They were just really selling the fatigue of this match, as you would do it, like, at this point. But there was a great spot when Okada whips Kenny into the ropes with the intention of throwing a dropkick, doing one of his trademark Okada dropkicks. And he throws Omega against the ropes. Omega hits the ropes, but doesn't have the energy to spring backwards.
Oh.
So he just falls down. But Okada, on instinct, still goes to do the dropkick. So even though like he still exerted energy to throw this dropkick that he didn't need to, there's a really great bit of storytelling in there. It's just great.
And how both men stay down after that.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like they both had a massive move hit on each other, but in reality, one man just missed a dropkick and the other one just hit the ropes. But they're selling
backwards.
It because they're so tired and they put so much effort in. It's incredible. And that there's a styles clash from Omega in this time period, which got an AJ Styles chant from the crowd. Spike pile driver from Omega.
Package pile driver.
The Phoenix splash.
Yes, and it's like Ibushi gets up on the apron telling him to do moves, because like Callis go like, what's he doing on the apron? What's he doing on the apron? And I think that Callis was worried as well, again, selling it as a commentator would, that he was going to be throwing in the towel for Omega. And he wasn't. He was saying like, you need to do the Phoenix splash. This is what you need to do next. And he does, and he misses. That's terrible advice there, Ibushi. Like, just stay where you are, mate. You're making things worse for him.
Can I talk about like the last bits now? Or have you got any bits in between?
Well, I mean, do we want to talk about possibly my favourite spot of the match, playing off my favourite spot of the Dominion match last year, which is when Okada set up to do the Rainmaker, but Kenny, in exhaustion, just collapsed and just like swung. As a spot that you and I both thought when we watched it, it was a botch. But like it was just, it was beautiful storytelling. Mm. Because it looks so weird, because essentially Kenny just falls down. And they play off that this time. This time he does hit it, but Okada has nothing in him. So he hits the chest, but he's the one that falls down. And Kenny just sort of like absorbs it because there was nothing behind it.
But it's not like Kenny was like, oh, I'm going to no-sell that. It's like, what? What just happened?
Yeah.
He's just as dazed.
He didn't ishii it.
Yeah.
That might be my favourite spot of the whole match. Loved it.
I'm just going to storm through the end sequence. So it's a yay boo spot when with both men on the ground, they're on their knees, and they're really tired. There's nothing behind the punches. They're an hour in, and then Kenny just slaps Okada across the face and does a headbutt. And Callis is going, I've never seen Kenny Omega do a headbutt. And then Okada hits a Rainmaker, but like a weak one. But he's maintained that wrist control. Second Rainmaker. Both men are collapsed. Still the wrist is held.
Kenny's eyes are in the back of his head.
Yeah, yeah. Kenny's like selling of being out on his feet is second to none.
Absolutely.
And there is this wonderful shot of Okada kind of like just stumbling to his feet with Kenny's wrist held, trying to get Kenny up. And you can see Gedo in the background and Gedo just screaming. And it's like, Okada's going to win this. Okada's going to win it. That's what I was thinking. And then Kenny reverses the third Rainmaker into a German and then another German suplex. And then they do that same bit again. And then there was a reverse Rana from Omega and he uses red shoes to pull himself up. The referee goes for a V trigger, but's hit by a drop kick. Then he hits the one winged angel from out of nowhere.
When he goes for that V trigger and Okada hits a drop kick, Don Callis goes, "Damn it!
Damn that drop kick!
Damn that drop kick!"
Yeah, but he can't get the pin off the one winged angel. He's just so tired. And then they're just next to each other on the ropes, shoulder to shoulder, and that like both men are out, but they're trying to use each other to get up. Mm. And Omega's got his hand on. That was like the best moment of the match for me. Just like seeing them completely out of it, but still doing. Like, they know somewhere, even though they can't think of where they are, something in there is still going, you've got to win. You've got to try and do it. And Kenny pushes himself up using Okada's face, hits this brutal V-trigger. Like, it felt like he got him with both knees somehow. And then a one-winged angel, and then he won.
Yeah.
And there was this beautiful end sequence where Ibushi, of course, is in there right away celebrating, but then the Young Bucks tentatively walk down the ramp with their heavyweight tag team titles freshly won earlier, and they get in the ring, and then Kenny hugs Matt. But he sort of pushes the heavyweight title away and is like, I'm going to hug my friends first.
That was the
and
more
he hugs
thing,
them
yeah.
both, and like they're all crying. Like those are genuine tears.
Yeah, I was going to say, like when the Bucks come down, Matt is in like tears. Like you can see that he's really trying to hold back the tears because he's still watching his, you know, one of his best friends in the whole world win the biggest title in New Japan. And it felt like real genuine emotion. Mm. And then they get in the ring, and yeah, when they actually got, they did the hug, and Ibushi got in there as well. Oh, it was such a, just a truly wonderful moment.
Because it's one thing winning something for yourself or accomplishing something for yourself, but to accomplish something with all your friends also accomplishing their dreams, and you're all in there, we've done this together on the same night. What a feeling that must be. And as a fan, like, I'm there with them. I feel like, you know, we're all celebrating this together. So it's, but it's not all. It's not all pleasurable, is it? Because, like, that's wrestling. Like, that would have been enough to go out on. But Cody just walks down. Looks like he's going to get in the ring to celebrate with them. But he shakes his head and walks off. Beautiful.
So we now have the Golden Elite of the Golden Lovers and the Young Bucks, and we've got Bullet Club. So essentially, like, Kenny's officially taken himself away from Bullet Club, and I'm assuming the Bucks have as well. Like, I mean,
it certainly seems that way.
And I wonder if that's one of the matches they're going to do at All In, Golden Elite versus the versus Bullet Club, because Cody is in the NWA's title world's title match against Nick Aldis. So you've got something that Omega could do, but you could do Kota and the Bucks against Page and Skrull and someone else. So yeah, there's plenty of stuff you could do there with the Golden Elite versus Bullet Club.
But it's what a show, and just what an incredible match. Like, that match alone would have been enough to make it one of the most historic wrestling shows of all time.
Yeah.
But it's got a hell of an undercard too. And Don Callis on commentary when Kenny wins, just oh God.
It was, oh God. He was so
it sounded like he was crying.
Yeah.
Too.
And he was, because like, Callis was, he was on social media, like, losing his mind that there weren't any, like, Winnipeg newspapers. He was, like putting a call out to all of these Winnipeg newspapers and Winnipeg news outlets saying, like, two guys from Winnipeg have just won the two top titles in New Japan, if you ask Will Ospreay. Two top titles in New Japan, and none of you are reporting on this, and it's a shame that you're not. Like, his Callis is really, like, but it's, you know, Canadian pride coming out of him. He's a truly wonderful man and an incredible, incredible commentator. What a show. And we didn't even get to talk about how great Tanahashi's hair was.
Exactly. Well, for me, that's a 5-star match, and it is the highest form of 5-star match, that means.
It's going to get 6 3/4. That's my prediction from Melt.
All the stars. He's got to go 7 now,
you
surely.
He's got to go 7.
Just another quarter thing. Means nothing.
I Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.